I love it.
And I said, that is awesome. Thank you. I would be so grateful. Now, the lesson in that is when somebody says, got it, it doesn't mean anything.
Hey, welcome to the Business of Sales. I'm your host, Morris Sims. I have over 35 years training sales professionals who are actually business owners. And now, hey, I'm focused on helping those business owners run their businesses more effectively and efficiently in today's very fast-paced, ever-changing world. So on this show, we're going to interview some great business leaders and give you practical ideas that you can use today. So, hey, stick with us, please. We've got great things coming out, and it's going to happen right now. Our guest today on the Business of Sales is Jeff Cohen, author, entrepreneur, and creator of some great concepts. He's got a new book coming out called Count Audible that'll be out in the middle of June. And we're just excited to have Jeff on the show here with us to explain to us exactly what Count Audible is all about. Well, welcome, Jeff.
Hey, thanks so much, Morris. It's great to be here today.
Super good, man. Tell us a little bit about your journey. Where did you come from, brother?
Well, you know, it's all in the book, so we can just end right here and just, no, just kidding.
That'll work. Okay, good deal. Have a great day.
Yeah, there we go. That's the shortest the shortest, most effective interview you've ever done. So I'm an entrepreneur, and I have been my whole life. While the first chapter in the book is called Grand Theft Auto, and I know your readers, your listeners will really love that chapter. I'm going to start at chapter two, where I tell you at 8 years old, I wrote all of the professional sports teams and I said, can you send me stickers, please? And I got a stack. It was like to choke a horse. It was enormous. You know, an 8 year old gets a stack of stickers like that and they're all really cool. I mean, these were, you know, colorful, shiny, everything. I said to my mom, I said, Mom, can I put them up on my walls in my room? And it was about the fastest decline I'd ever gotten at that age of my life. And she didn't like the idea of putting them on her car. So I put them on my notebook and I went to school. And suddenly, my friends started saying, how much do you want for this one? And how much do you want for that one? And, you know, I became the accidental salesperson and I started selling these stickers and I made $50. And my dad turns to me, goes, Jeff, you're an entrepreneur. And I said, wow, what is that?
Is that good or bad, Dad? Yeah.
Right. I know. Right. So I've been living that ever since. And in my adult life, I've started six companies and been through all of the great things you would love to have. And, you know, I've also been through some of the most difficult times anyone ever would have in their life. And, you know, so who I am is someone that really cares about people. I've learned one important lesson on this trip. The one lesson is that I can share my successes and people get something from that. But when I really openly share my failures, they actually learn something from that. And so I just want to let you and all of your listeners know, like, there's no topic I won't broach. It may bring me to tears, because I've had some rough spots in my life and I'm okay with that. Like, I'm comfortable today that can happen. And I want to let you know, I have a great life and nothing is off limits today.
So well, super.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Tell us a little more about Count Audible. I mean, that sounds like a really great title. I mean, if we're not Count Audible, I mean, just, I haven't read the book yet, but man, the title tells me a lot about you and about how important it is to be Count Audible. Tell us more.
So in my life, like I said, I've been on this roller coaster really high highs, really super low lows. In 2013, I took a program called Team Management Leadership Program. Mm-hmm. And I really got to look at myself and I noticed something I didn't like. I realized I was a lousy manager.
My friends, thank you again for listening to The Business of Sales. We appreciate you. Hey, a quick bit of news for you just to get started today. Our friend and mentor, Dr. Randy Marshall. Well, Randy has taught many of us in the world of sales over the years. He makes no apology for his faith and his Christianity. He is in Poland right now, helping with the refugees and providing aid to the Ukrainians. Randy has taught there for several years to help build leaders to plant churches in that country. Now he works to help get them medicine and clothes and food and, yeah, even bulletproof vests. So please pray for Randy and his mission and his safe travels on all his many trips back and forth. And if you're moved to help support this work, go to a website. It's tccp.pro. That's the Center for Church Planters. tccp.pro, P-R-O, and share your treasure to help a people who are truly in need of physical and spiritual support at this time. Carla and I have been blessed, and we've given to this organization because I know every penny is going to go to help a family in Ukraine and to spread the gospel. You know, our Lord taught us, as often as you've done this for one of my least brothers, you did it for me. Thank you for your support, and thank you so much for listening to The Business of Sales. Hey, let's get back to the show.
Like, people wanted to work for me, and in 2013, I mean, I probably had, you know, several hundred employees over the years. People wanted to work for me. And I look back at 2013 in this analysis and I said, I am a crappy boss. Oh my God, how could anybody want to work for me? And I realized as I went through this program, I wasn't the only one. I got 50 CEOs and business owners and entrepreneurs together in groups of 7 or 8. And we started asking that question to each other. And what we found was there was a gap in our business that had us not be confident in our leadership. And the gap was very simple. It was communication. Now, at the top of the funnel, and I know we're talking a lot of salespeople here, at the top of the funnel, right, there's, in general, communication. So we started funneling down and we noticed, oh, communication was either effective or not effective. What would make a communication not effective? We started digging in deeper. What we found was as our conversations would go, and by the way, if you are in sales, listen to this part really carefully. As our conversations go, the people we were talking to had something else going on up here. I have to pick up my laundry. Oh, that argument I just had with my spouse. Oh, it's killing me. Whatever it is, right? And you just start going deeper and deeper into effective communication. And here's something we found has become very common. It's not always said, but it's said very often. And I caught one of our close friends' daughters, who's 7 years old, saying it to me this weekend. And this is how that conversation went. So you can get the funnel, okay, mm-hmm. and a resolution. So my wife and I have a 1-year-old foster to adopt daughter. She's a beautiful little girl. We love her. We were visiting with our friends this weekend. My friend and his daughter, she and I all went out to dinner and to frozen yogurt. He has this great wagon. He's pulling them in. They're both sitting in it. The 7-year-old is loving to be a mommy to this little 1-year-old. Like, you know, just the cutest thing in the entire world, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
After dinner, we go to the frozen yogurt. And as we're walking up, I turn around and I look back and I see the 1-year-old holding on to the side, standing up. I said, whoa, whoa, hang on. We stop. I sit her back down. I turn to the 7-year-old. I say, hey, honey, did you notice she was standing? Now, at this point, she's on her phone playing a game or whatever. And she said, yeah, I told you.
Yep. I
said, oh, wow. That's amazing. So first off, a communication not heard.
It didn't happen. Right, right.
Then I said to her, I said, well, can I ask you a favor? She goes, sure, what? I said, if that happens again and you can't get her to sit down, can you make sure that I answer you? Like raise your voice and whatever it takes. She goes, okay, got it. This is a 7-year-old saying, okay, got it.
I love it.
That's how I know that got it has permeated our our world, right?
You'll find it in the dictionary soon, but yeah, I got it. Okay.
Right, exactly. What you get? So I said to her, I said, that's fabulous. Thank you so much. What'd you get? She looked at me and then she looked down. And a few seconds later, she looked back up and she goes, I should make sure you heard.
Ooh, 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 I love it.
And I said, that is awesome. Thank you. I would be so grateful. Now, the lesson in that is when somebody says, got it, it doesn't mean anything.
Hey, y'all, hang on for just a second. I got something I just got to tell you. I'm giving away some free stuff, all right? Free stuff. I've got a copy in there of my ebook, Practical Influence, with ideas to help you improve your influence with other people. I've got some great marketing and prospecting ideas that are on an audio file, so you can listen to it while you work out or drive or whenever you'd like to. And we've also got some stuff in there on planning for 2022 to help you make 2022 your best year ever. Just go to morrissims.com/free stuff. That's morrissims.com/free stuff and get your free stuff. It's just that easy. All right, now back to the show.
It's a very easy, quick way to dismiss whatever it is that's been said in lieu of what was going on in their head, because it took her a few seconds to process that request. She actually had to think about what I was asking to be able to say what it was. Morris, how often is it that someone says got it and we just assume they got it?
Well, I mean, if you look at any of the Chef Ramsay shows, and they do this yes, chef thing, you know, with gusto and yes, chef, and all those kinds of, and then they go about and they don't do what they just said yes, chef to. It sounds like it's the same kind of thing. People don't necessarily truly go deeply with their communication, I guess. Is that what we're saying?
Exactly. And you know the Tasmanian devil, that little character? So that
yeah,
guy.
We're of the same vintage, my friend. Yes, I remember Bugs and all his friends.
Right? Well, I have that guy running around in my head. Now, in that 2-year program I was telling you about a little while ago, I learned how to slow him down. I learned some tools that I practice so diligently, because I'm one of those sales guys that used to just talk and talk and talk people out of a sale.
Bingo.
And what I learned was, if I listen intently, it's not enough. I have to actually say the words. So what I hear you saying is, and I learned in doing that, not just in sales, but with my wife, with my sons, in my business endeavors with anybody. When I do that, most of the time, whatever it is that I say, it lands with people and they get it to where they feel like, oh, I actually heard them. And we can move on to whatever the next step is. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes they'll say, no, that's actually not what I said.
And you're able to clarify and move forward. I just taught a masterclass on sales, and one of the sections of that is on asking questions. A confirmation question is a wonderful thing to utilize, and we, as in general, we don't use it enough in sales or in any other part of our lives. We don't use that question where we ask for confirmation enough, because you're right, Jeff, communication is the key to the whole thing here. I mean, come on.
Right. Well, sales is communication. So is management.
Yep.
Right.
So is life, Jeff. I mean,
right,
you know,
exactly. It's
my wife, my kids, my work, a whole nine yards.
Right. So I just want to go back to that last point for a second, because when they say, no, that's not it, or that's close, then go to come back and say either, can you rephrase what you said? Or, okay, well, is it possible that what you want me to get is this? And here's something else that I've learned. You know, lots of communication, lots of experience, lots of focus on being an expert in communication, right? I've learned that if someone's wanting to brush you off, they quickly say, yes, that's it. And then you never talk to them again. On the other hand, if they say no a second time, it doesn't mean they're brushing you off. It could mean, not guaranteed, but it could mean they haven't thought their statement through to completion yet. And there's more thinking for them to do about it. And so the valuable lesson to take away when that happens is you can say to them, hey, can we put that on our agenda to talk about next week? And we both consider that for a few days. And power, it's so powerful. Because you're giving them an opportunity. First off, you're avoiding a potential argument. You're avoiding ill feelings. You're in their space working on listening for what's there for them. And most of the time, people appreciate that.
I think all the time, we all do. If it's our doctor or our a professional salesperson or our spouse, when I'm on the same side of the table as the person I'm trying to communicate with, boy, howdy, things just seem to go so much better, so much faster. And by doing what you're suggesting, I'm getting on their side of the table and showing empathy with what they may be feeling at the time.
Hey, I got a question for you. What's your favorite destination for a few relaxing days to unwind and recharge your batteries, or your favorite place to take the family for some big fun? Find that picture in your mind. Go on, do it now. Have you got it? Well, now think about all the planning and the booking and the flights and the reservations and all the rest of those other pesky details that you have to go through just to get to that beautiful picture in your mind. Now, what if somebody took all those details and made it easy? Make it easy for you to get there and do what you want to do. Well, that's what our friends at Small World Big Fun can do for you. They make travel easy. All you got to do is show up and have fun. The great people at Small World Big Fun are going to handle all the details that you want them to handle. You want to go to Disney? Hey, they know all the secrets. River cruises in Europe, Cancun beach trips, Belize maybe, cruise Alaska, or cruise anywhere. You name it and Small World Big Fun can plan it and make it happen for you. Really, I've been using Small World Big Fun for years, and frankly, so has the rest of our family. We just show up and have fun. Cindy Miner and her 42 other great agents are going to make it easy on you to show up and enjoy life. So go to smallworldbigfun.com or call Small World at 501-831-5211. That's 501-831-5211. Call them now and get started planning for your next trip to that absolutely beautiful picture that you saw back when this conversation began. You know, I can see it now. The white sandy beaches of the Redneck Riviera all along the Gulf of Mexico, and it's calling me. Golly gee, can you hear the waves? Yeah, I can smell the ruby red Gulf shrimp on the grill. Redfish fresh from the boat for dinner and, oh. Hey, Carla, bring me a drink, would you? And adjust the umbrella. The sun's in my eyes again.
Right. So all of this is a little bit of a foundation for the explanation of the difference between accountable and countonable, right? The last thing I'll just put in before we go there is there's this thing that we all have called, ready? A drum roll. A trigger. So I define a trigger in my book as something that sets you off. Whatever it is, it takes hold of you emotionally.
Yeah.
And now you have a choice. You can either respond. By the way, when you do that, it doesn't always go well. Or you can learn to hone your skill in identifying it. By the way, when I did this in my training, it got me confident to be able to say to my wife, this is my second wife, I might have only had a first wife had I had this. But with my second wife, who's also very well educated in communication and an expert at it, she's an actress. With her, when I get triggered, I say to her, hey, honey, what you've just said really triggers the heck out of me. That's when I notice. I don't always notice. But when I notice, and I'll say, can you let me just collect my thoughts? Or can we come back to this later? And I avoid an argument. And I actually create a new level of communication in my relationship. So everything I do in business comes to my life. And guess what? That the number one trigger I have came to me. It's in the first chapter of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So people go to the website, I'll send them the first chapter, even before it's published, so they can get that. But that first trigger, like we all have one.
Yeah.
I got it when I was five, and I've brought it with me to every relationship and every job and every boss and every company I've ever had since. For decades, that trigger has been running my life. And it's a reason that when I was in sales, I would change jobs every few years instead of just stick with one.
Yeah.
It's also a reason that when I took sales jobs when I did not want to be a seller.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, that's really important because one of the key things you learn in being countonable is what not only you can tell people, you can count on me for this, but the number one thing that you can do is you can tell people, look, you can't count on me for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the issue. Being accountable, now I'm getting to answer your question. This is the dollar tour for the nickel answer. Being accountable is something every CEO wants their company to be. Not a single person out there wants to have an organization where people are not accountable. If you look at accountability, it requires two people.
Mm-hmm.
The person that's holding you to account, by the way, and that's akin to being held at gunpoint, and the person that's being held accountable, right? And the last time you probably heard the word accountable was last night at 6 o'clock on the news when someone was going to jail or it was a politician people didn't like.
Yeah, yeah.
It had to be held accountable. That's the context of the word accountable. There's no power in it. It's all over there. It's being done to you. It's being done to somebody. If you really want to have a great life, it takes something to know what your strengths are, what you're good at, and what you love doing.
Right.
Which changes over time. Now, as a company, if you want an environment where you have an employee that can say, boy, this job really caters to my strengths. I really love doing this work. And oh, by the way, I'm really great at it. That person would probably say, oh my God, this is my dream job. And as an employer, you'd probably say, oh my God, this is my dream employee. And the odds of them leaving are minimal. So when you have that, now your people management costs drop considerably and your productivity increases considerably. Because when you're looking at things like even a technical sales job, it takes something to train those people up.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I've been through trainings with IBM and other big companies I've worked for that are like months long before you're actually in the field working with customers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's expensive. So, you know, this concept of knowing as an employee what I can say you can count on me for is important, but even more important is the concept of saying, I am not countable for something. The issue with that is it usually comes with a penalty. You can't get away with it in most companies. They don't have an environment that says, wow, this person's changed over time. They're no longer the great salesperson I want. I need to get rid of them instead of looking at what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
So Countable, the book, is a practical guide to lift, shift, and empower you and your team. It actually gives you step-by-step, how do I do that?
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, builds a team that's effective, loves what they're doing, and helps you identify when there are new tasks to be done that align with what the CEO wants. Who the right person is. Like you actually figure that out and figure out when people's desires are shifting along the way on a regular basis.
Sounds great, Jeff. It really does. I'm excited about getting my hands on the book. In the last couple of minutes that we've got here, tell me, I mean, in your vast experience, my friend, what's the one thing right now in today's world and environment that we live in that the professional salespeople need to really get a handle on and be able to know or do to help them in their business?
So, you know, I'm not a political animal. I hate politics, right? Both professionally and in the world. Like I just,
I would agree.
It polarizes people.
Totally.
But here's the thing, as a salesperson, you've got to choose, and you do it as a business owner as well. You choose whether you bring that into what you do or not, because there definitely are pluses and minuses about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you think about politics from a standpoint of how do I get along in a company, you're choosing a side.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to do that if you're in a company where that exists. And it's dangerous. I can tell you personally, I found it to be dangerous.
I agree.
On the other hand, not being able to stand up for something also is dangerous, because then it occurs like you don't stand for anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, when you're actually able to be confident in what you're capable of and not capable of and stand up for that, you're actually standing up for you. And most people don't. And in a world where in a lot of sales organizations, you're as good as the deal you brought in yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you're not standing up for you, how do you know anybody else's?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that. If so, I'm not willing to put my faith in myself, how do I expect anybody else to put their faith in me and my abilities? That's exactly. Absolutely right on target, Jeff. And I guess the other thing that rolls around for most of our listeners is, how do I get it all done? How do I do all of this stuff? I got a to-do list that's huge. I've got, you know, to worry about making enough money to pay the bills. Everything's coming at me from all sorts of different directions. Jeff, what's a great idea for how I can manage my minutes better? I like that line, don't you? How do you manage your minutes? And that's so true. What could you help? Can you help us with that a little bit, maybe?
Yeah. So I know we're a little short on time, but I just want to say in the book, I define two frameworks that combine into the third. There's the trust framework, the alignment framework, and then the trust alignment framework, right? So one of the key things is, first off, you've got to be able to say, I am good and love doing these things. And you've got to be able to say, I am not good at and do not love these things. And by the way, you still may be asked to do some of those things.
Oh, right? Are we all? Yeah, yeah.
Right. And generally speaking, people start out as A players in what they do, and then they get given something that they're not good at. Now they become a B player. So standing up for yourself is to go to management and say, look, I can do that, but I'm an A player at this. Are you sure you want me to do something I'm a B player at?
Mm-hmm.
And let them be upfront and know. The other thing is, in the book, I talk a lot about calendaring, right? So, you know, I learned in that team management leadership program that when you have a lot on your plate, if you don't block time in your calendar for doing things, when does it get done?
It doesn't get done.
I don't know how much stuff you can manage in your head, but let me just tell you, if it's not on your calendar, it's not in existence. You will likely not get it done. And even when it's in your calendar, there's often something getting in the way of it.
Yeah. And the older that we get, Jeff, the harder it is for me to keep anything in my head from 1 minute to the next. So I best write it down and I best have it on the calendar. I think you're absolutely right, brother. Hey, man, thank you so much for being with us here today on the Business of Sales.
Hey, thank you, Morrison. Let me just add this. If you'd like more information about the book, if you'd like to help us in the launch of the book and get some valuable goodies, come to my website, www.countaudible.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll send you the first chapter right now. You're welcome to jump at it. It'll be on Amazon in the middle of June. And I'll just leave you with one last thought. Don't just be accountable. Be countaudible.
I love it. That's such a great phrase. I think you hit on a great title for your book, my friend.
Thank you so much, Morris.
And thank you for being here. We really do appreciate it, Jeff. And for everybody else out there, you guys know what I'm going to tell you. Go out and make it a great week. Have a good time. Go see some more folks and enjoy what you do, because what you do makes a difference in the world. Have a great time. I'm Morris Sims, and I'll see you again next week right here on the Business of Sales.